This free MP3 is brought to you by HappyWife.com to help you create the marriage of your dreams.
Recently taught a seminar called How to Stop Feeling Lonely in Your Marriage. And the phone was ringing off the hook. We had so many attendees. People came in droves. And I did a survey and I asked, like, why did you come? What was so compelling about this? And the overwhelming majority said, you know, before I was married and I was single, I understood this feeling of loneliness inside of me. And after I got married and all the excitement was beautiful, and then when real life set in and marriage set in, and all of a sudden I started feeling a deeper sense of loneliness because now I'm married. I have the expectation that I should feel a connection that I'm not feeling. And I feel lonely. I feel truly lonely, and I'm married, and I shouldn't feel lonely in my marriage. You know, this is a very common problem in marriage nowadays. And the good news is that with some very timely and well-executed exercises, we can stop it. We can make that connection. We can make that connection with our spouse. What we're going to be discussing in this program, we're going to talk about the problem, about why generally people feel lonely in their marriage. We're going to discuss the principles about what a marriage, the connection in marriage really could be. And then we're going to talk about practical solutions, about how to implement strategies to create an emotional bond, an emotional connection that just gets rid of that pit in your stomach, that feeling of loneliness that you know you shouldn't feel in your marriage. Now, I want to tell you something about this program. This program is not designed as a lecture. This program is a workshop. Take the ideas I've given you. They've worked for thousands of couples. Take the ideas that I'm giving you. Get a pen, you get a piece of paper or a workbook, and I'm going to give you some very practical workshops where you're going to do some exercises. And I want you to personalize this. Take a pen. When I say stop the tape, please stop the tape. Stop it. When I say stop the program, stop the program. Take out your pen, take out your piece of paper, and do the exercises. And when we start doing these exercises and we start implementing these strategies in our own marriage, that's when we'll see the connection every single day. All right, so go ahead, stop the program, go get your pen, go get your piece of paper or your workbook. I'll wait for you. Go ahead, go do it. All right, welcome back. Okay, you got your pen, you got your paper. Great, so let's get started, let's get rolling. That's the first thing we need to do is we got to start talking about the problem, about why generally people feel lonely in their marriages. Why does it happen? Now, the first thing you have to understand is that it's a basic human nature to feel a connection. We're essentially loving beings. That's what we do. We're loving. You know, they once did a scientific study that they showed children who were abandoned by their parents, and they were given, you know, put in orphanages, and they were given their proper sustenance to keep them alive. A lot of these kids died because they weren't getting the love that they needed. These babies died because they didn't get the love, the essential love that they needed. Love is like water. It's like air to a human being. It's like air. If we want to punish somebody in prison, what do? Put them in solitary confinement. Why? Because you go crazy. If you can't have human contact, you go crazy. You go insane. You'll risk anything and everything to get that contact. Remember Tom Hanks in the movie The Castaway, where he was on a desert island and he deteriorated into almost a level of insanity? Of course, we need that kind of connection. It's a basic human instinct. It's a basic human need. Can you imagine if you won an Olympic medal and you're so excited and thousands of people, millions of people, billions of people of the world cheering for you, and you've got your medal and you walk into your house and you live by yourself, you got no one to share it with, and you walk into your house and you say, hey, ooh, gold medal, yay. Feel the emptiness of that? You got no one to really truly share it with? Because what relationships do is relationships magnify all of our life experiences. When you feel something and you can connect to somebody with that, does it magnify the experience? Does it make the experience greater? And if we have no one to really share it with, doesn't it make it feel more empty? It sort of loses its significance. You know, imagine going to a game, like you go to a Super Bowl game. You got your tickets, you're all excited, your team's playing, and on the field, there you got your team. And you look around the stadium, and there's you and about 200 people in a 50,000 person stadium. So you see there's a guy way over there in the bleachers, there's a guy down by the field over there, there's a guy way up there, and your team, the game's going on, and your team scores, you're so excited, you jump up, and you're like, hey! Hey, and you look around, there's a guy way up there clapping, hey, and a guy on the other side, boo, and, you know, the same thing's going on the field, but you don't get that sense. Well, if there's 50,000 people, 50,000 people, and they're all cheering, and there's a wave going on, and everything is great, you know, don't you feel that the game is inside of you? Now, those 50,000 people can't compare to a marriage that has that connection. Imagine walking in with your gold medal or any of your achievements, any of your achievements, and walking in with your spouse and saying, look what we did. All our sacrifice and all our hard work, honey, look what we did together. That gold medal is worth more to you when you can make that connection. But it's worth more than you than the billion people cheering if you can connect it once with someone you care deeply about. You know, it's interesting, a funny thing is when I travel around the country giving lectures, and a lot of time after my lectures, you know, we got a big run, it's exciting, they're up, they're alive, and people cheer at the end, they go, you know, it's really, it's fun, it's full of energy, it's full of passion. People understand that we lift each other, and we really understand what human connection can be like. And one time I'm in Toronto where I live, and there was a big crowd, and it was very exciting and very fun, and at the end everyone was very appreciative, and my wife and I drove home. And we drove home together, and in the car, in her still, sweet, loving voice, she turned to me and she said, you know, Aria, tonight you were really, really good. Now, what meant more to me? The hundreds and hundreds of people who were cheering wildly? Or my wife's still, sweet, loving voice? It's not even in the same league, the same ballpark. Because even though we can share something with thousands and thousands of people, it's that one connection we make on the deepest level is the one that makes it worthwhile. It's the one that truly magnifies life experience. She's, oh, over the years, the decades that we've been together, been married 15 years, oh, have we grown in those 15 years and where we've, what we've been through together and the hard work to get us to where we are today. When she said, Aria, you're good, ah, that was deep. It was real. That made the experience so much greater because the depth of the connection. See, relationships have the power to magnify your life experience. And the deeper the connection, the deeper the relationship, the more intimate the relationship, the greater the magnification of that experience. For good, and unfortunately, for bad. Unfortunately, for bad. The second thing we got to know about the problem of why people feel lonely in marriage is because we really, in our society, we have a sort of a flawed relationship model. I mean, what's our relationship model? So, you know, we start out single, we start dating, and the dating world is fairly superficial. It's a superficial world, you know, we don't have that many expectations of connection, and we're sort of living together. Yeah, whether we're living together literally or not, but we're living together in a very intimate way, and we don't really have the connection that a true, deep, intimate relationship should have. It's much more superficial, and of course we have much, much less expectations from that person and of the connection. Because of course, you don't have a commitment, so the back door is wide open, and you're kind of dancing on tiptoeing on the tulip, so to speak. You're walking on eggshells. You don't want to do the wrong thing because the back door's open. But once that back door closes and the commitment is made, the nature of the relationship changes. This is forever. Now my expectations increase. And anything but a deep connection is truly a disappointment. There's a transition from the dating model to the marriage model. And a lot of people have a very, very difficult time making this transition. And they want to keep the sort of the same kind of relationship that they had in their dating world, which worked. And it got us to the point where we made this commitment. And now we want to keep that same structure in the relationship when the nature of the relationship has changed so much. It really has changed. And our expectations have changed. And they should change. It's a different type of relationship. It's a different type of relationship. But unfortunately, it does produce feelings, what I call feelings of disconnect. Feelings where we do not feel that we're really connecting on an emotional level. Now, before we go any further, we're going to do our first exercise. Now, I want you to, after I tell you to do it, I want you to stop the program and take out your pen and your paper and do the exercise. The first exercise is I want you to list in your marriage, I want you to list in your relationship the five top areas where you feel the disconnect, where you're feeling that you're not really connecting emotionally like you would like. You know, areas like we're not communicating, we don't spend enough time together, we don't have enough fun. Every time an issue comes up, my spouse runs away, we're not dealing with our issues. We seem to be fighting a lot, we're bickering, we have a lack of trust, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, take your five main areas where you're feeling your disconnect. Okay, do it now. Go ahead. Stop the program. Are you still listening or are you writing? I hope you're writing. Okay, so stop it right now and I'll come back to you in a second. Okay, welcome back. You got your five list? Okay, read through it quickly. You're going to read through your list? Okay, excellent. Now what I want you to do is I want you to prioritize this list. Number one is where you're feeling the greatest disconnect, where you're feeling disconnected in the most palpable and emotional way. To number five, where you're feeling the least. Of your list of five, make sure you prioritize 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 feeling the most disconnect, and number 5 feeling the least disconnect. Okay, go ahead, stop the tape, stop the program, and do that right now. All right, now I want to take your list, your prioritized list. I want you to put it aside. We're going to get back to it in a few minutes because we're going to talk right now about a little bit about the purpose of marriage and why we need that connection and really the philosophy of what the connection of marriage really could be in a marriage that's working amazingly. You ever wonder what the purpose of marriage is? What is it? Like, why get married? Why do it? Yeah, a lot of common ideas that we hear from people is because you want love, you want companionship perhaps. The sensuality, passion, the growth together, the growth that you get by yourself. Perhaps you want children, family, sense of security, to make up for things that you didn't get as a child. Whatever it may be, we have lots of ideas about the purpose of marriage. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a purpose, a definition really of a purpose of marriage. We're going to take the components for the next few minutes, and we're going to talk about how each one of these components makes up for a marriage where we feel the kind of connection that we know that we want and that we crave. Not only you, but your spouse craves it too. Now, what is it? Well, if we're not clear about the purpose of it, how do we know we're going to get there? How do we know what to do? So, maybe you want to write this purpose down. I've worked on it for many, many years. And here it is. The purpose of marriage is the lifetime commitment to constantly share with your spouse emotional intimacy. I'll say it one more time. It's the lifetime commitment to constantly share with your spouse emotional intimacy. Okay, now let's break this up into parts and let's talk about what this means. So the first thing we said is that it's a lifetime commitment. That's an attitude. Commitment's an attitude. This is forever. This is forever. As we said before, there's no back door. We are in this together. We're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. Therefore, we should figure out how to do whatever we need to do to make it work and feel connected. I don't want to live my life like this for the rest of my life. Do you? Say to your spouse, do you? And we've made a lifetime commitment that we're going to be together. And I'm not settling. I'm not going to settle for a mediocre relationship. I want that connection that I dreamed of. That's the lifetime commitment. That's the attitude of a lifetime commitment. So when you argue and you're frustrated or you're bored or you're just tired or the marriage is in a blah state, that's where you say to each other, you say, you know, honey, we're in this together forever. That's our commitment to each other. Let's get through this block, whether it's this anger or the frustration or the bickering or the boredom or the blah, whatever it is, let's get through this block. Because we both know that on the other side of this block lies our happiness. And we both want a happy marriage. And when we work through this together, that working through it and getting through to the other side is where our happiness lies and our connection lies. Let's get through this. Let's make a commitment to do whatever it takes to get through this together. That's what a lifetime commitment means. You step into your issues. You step into your problems. You don't run away from them. You do whatever it takes to get through these hurdles, to get over these hurdles. Because we're in it forever together. Let's make it great. Let's live a marriage with passion and excitement and connection. Because this is it forever. And life goes fast. Go look in the mirror. Can you believe that the wrinkles are forming in your eyes, or that the hair's turning gray, or you're losing your hair, whatever it may be? How fast did that happen? It's a blink of the eye. And then time only speeds up. And we're going to be in this together. And if we start today, understanding that our lifetime commitment starts today, and that we're going to work through everything to get to where we need to, the happiness and the connection and the love and the passion and the fun that just lies over this hurdle. Let's do what it takes to jump over this hurdle together. Whatever it takes. That's the attitude of a lifetime commitment. So it was a lifetime commitment to constantly share. Constantly means every day. Marriage takes constant work. Constant work. You know, I teach a lot of singles programs. And I ask the singles, I ask you, what do you think the number one thing that you need to create a marriage that will work? And everybody always says, if you marry the right person. Alright, I agree. You gotta marry the right person, but what does it mean to marry the right person? A lot of people marry the right person. I mean, who in the right mind went into the marriage thinking they were marrying the wrong person? I mean, we all think we're gonna marry the right person. And then marriage falls apart, or we're lonely, or it's blah, it's mediocre. Marrying the right person is not a guarantee of a good marriage. As a matter of fact, you're coming into the marriage with the wrong attitude. Marrying the right person puts in the attitude that a good marriage with the connection that we want is happening. If you happen to marry the right person, you're going to feel that connection, just like we did when we fell in love. Well, marriage isn't falling in love constantly. Marriage takes work. It's constant work. It makes a commitment. It takes a commitment of a lifetime of every day you wake up and you renew your commitment to your spouse on every level. Today my marriage is gonna be fantastic. I do an exercise with my couples and I ask them, tell me, when did you decide to marry your spouse? You know, we get these beautiful stories. We were walking down the beach and my fiance took off his shoes, and I saw how his feet, with the water, how playful he was and how much joy he got just in the simple things, and our eyes met. And when our eyes met, right then I knew that I wanted to marry him. Oh, you get a story of this couple, and they were hiking in the woods, and there was a deer that came out, and when she saw the deer, the light that shone off her face while I saw her connecting and communing with nature, I knew that I wanted to marry her right away. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got this kind of story. And then I said, okay, ask me, go ahead, ask me. When did you decide to marry your wife? When did you decide? Ask me, go ahead. And I go, okay, when did you decide to marry your wife? I say, today. I made that decision this morning when I woke up. I renew that decision every single morning. And I have a list of decisions that I renew every single morning, and I write them down. And I say, today I'm going to, and then I go through my list. And that's what I want you to do right now. We're going to do exercise number 2. Take out your pen and your paper. And today you're going to write your list of 10 statements. Beginning with the words, today I will, dot, dot, dot. Now, for example, some of the things on my list. You say, today I'm going to recommit myself to my wife. Today I'm going to make my wife happy. Today I'm going to communicate with my wife. Today I'm going to make my wife feel special. I'm going to do something to make her feel special. Today I'm going to make my wife feel that I'm the most blessed person in the entire world to be married to her. Today I'm going to do something to unload her burden. Today I'm going to do something to make her smile. Today I'm going to do something to give her a break. Today, I'm going to just tell her I love her for no reason while I look in her eyes. Make your list of 10. Go ahead, take your pen and your paper, and do it. Are you doing it? Come on, it's your marriage, it's your life. Take the pen, take the paper, do it. Stop the program right now. Stop it. And I'll come back to you in a minute. Okay, we back? You have your list? Excellent. Now what I want you to do with this list, every day, I want you to take out your list. You can do the list once a week maybe. You can make changes to it so often, but what I want you to do every day with this list is I want you to take the list and every morning, at some point in the morning, I want you to say these statements out loud and with meaning and with feeling. Now, if you're in your car on the way to work, do it there. If you're by yourself, don't do it if you're in a carpool. Or if you're during your exercise time, that's what I like to do when I go for my run or my jog in the morning and I'm out there and there's the beautiful scenery and I'm doing my jogging and I'll say my statements. So I do a lot of them, and one of them is, today I'm going to make my wife smile in that special smile that she smiles when I do something special for her. And I say it out loud and I say it with feeling. Today I'm going to do this, or maybe sometimes in the office with the door closed. But every single day, say it out loud. Say it out loud, and you'll start doing it. And you've got to understand something about connection. A lot of people think connection is about big connection. Today I'm going to buy my wife a Cadillac. You know what? Keep the Cadillac. Today, call her and say, I love you. Connection is about small things. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes. But connection is about the small things in life. So take your list out. Read it. Read it out loud. Read it with passion. Read it with gusto. Read it with commitment. Go ahead. Stop the program and do it right now. Read your list out loud with passion. Okay. You back? Excellent. So now we have our list. So now we went through that the purpose of marriage is a lifetime commitment to constantly, that means every day, share with your spouse. Now I chose the words share with your spouse very carefully. Because sharing, there's two aspects to sharing. There's the giving, and then there's the receiving. In order for there to be a sharing, not only do you have to give, which is important, you have to make that commitment to give, but you also have to share, which means that you have to open yourself up and allow your spouse to give to you. So you have to receive the giving that your spouse gives you. It sounds easy, but we'll talk about it in a second why. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Now, but first of all, you got to do your part with the giving. You got to do your part. You got to give your best. A lot of people say, hey, marriage is a 50-50 partnership. 50-50. 50-50 partnership. You know what? That's not a marriage. That's a partnership. You know what's wrong with a 50-50 partnership? Is if you do your 50%, I'll do my 50%. You do your 49%. You think I'm going to do 51%? Are you crazy? You're not keeping your edge of the bargain, your end of the bargain up. So I'm going to do 49%. Well, they look at you and go, you're only doing 49. Well, you know what? I'm going to do 46. And you go, 46? You think I'm going to do 54? I'm doing 45. And all of a sudden it starts to unravel. I like to tell people it's not a 50-50 partnership. That's not a marriage. A marriage is a 100% zero partnership both ways. I'm going to give my best. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give unconditionally. I'm going to give and give and give the best that I can give. That's your commitment to sharing with your spouse. I'm going to figure out what it takes, what they need, and I'm going to give. Now, if you want to know how to make your spouse happy, we have the program, How to Make a Good Marriage Great. And that gives step-by-step instructions about how to do it, very practically how to do it. There are tools, there are books, how to do it. But I'm going to do it 100%. There's nothing more important in my life than to make my wife happy, to make that my husband happy, to make that connection. And to share. Now, part of sharing means also being open to receiving what they give to you. Now, why? It doesn't sound so hard. I mean, they want to give to me. Go ahead. Give to me. Here I am. But the problem with sharing and receiving from your spouse is so many times it's hard to receive from your spouse because it comes with expectations. If they don't give to me in the exact way that I expected them to give to me, forget it. Not worth it. Not good enough. If I have to hint to you, or if I have to show you, or if I have to communicate to you, and you didn't think it yourself, and you didn't do it in the way that I'm used to, or the way of the connection that I want, forget it. Well, that's not sharing. Sharing is to allow the connection. If they give you a little bit, take it. Appreciate it. Educate your spouse how you would prefer it and what ways it'd be better, but you still have to allow in what they give to you. Let's get rid of some of those false expectations and start educating our spouse what really we need in order to make that connection. If you have those expectations that they're going to figure it out by themselves, you're wrong. They're not. You're different. You're a different person. You're a different gender. And we're very, very different from each other as human beings. And we're very different with each other, men versus women. And if you're not open to communicating to them what it is that they should do in order to give to you to make you feel connected, they're sunk. They're lost. So part of sharing is not only committing to be a giver, but it's committing to be a receiver and allowing them to give to you and educate them how to give to and communicate with them how to give to you in a way that they feel the connection. Because I'm going to tell you a real secret. Is that the real connection in marriage lies in the giving. And in order for there to be giving both ways, there have to be receivers both ways. And if you want to feel connected, your spouse better be open to receiving what you're giving, or that connection and that love will be blocked. Because really, the true connection that we seek is in the giving. So it's a lifetime commitment, which is forever, to constantly, which is every day, make that commitment, to share with your spouse, give 100% and be a receiver. And here comes the most important part, to share with your spouse emotional intimacy. Because that's it, folks. That's what stops the loneliness. The emotional intimacy is the key to ending loneliness. Now, what does emotional intimacy mean? Emotional means feeling. Intimacy means connected. The purpose of a marriage, the purpose of the marriage is to make a lifetime commitment to constantly, every day, share with your spouse by giving and receiving so that you feel connected in everything you do. Emotional intimacy means constant connection. And the way to make this connection is to make the commitment that you're going to make your spouse feel. Now here's the word, feel. Double underline, bold, italics, capital letters, feel. The most important thing is to make your spouse feel that they're the most important thing in your life constantly. More important than work. more important than health, more important than the kids, more important than your parents, more important than your friends, more important than your sports team, more important than your materialism, more important than everything. If we can make our spouse feel that they're the most important thing in our life constantly, then we start making the connection that ends the loneliness. You see, you got to understand is that marriage, I use an analogy, marriage is like a bank. It's like a bank. And the currency of the relationship is feelings. And the marriage is the bank account. And you want to make your spouse feel fulfilled and happy and loved and cherished and desired and respected. When you do that, these are all deposits in your account. But when we hide and we make ourselves feel distant and we have that lack of fulfillment and worst of all, the apathy, not caring anymore, and making our wife or our husband feel that they're not our top priority, give away our life to everything else, to our children, to our job. And if we make our spouse feel disrespected, when we make our spouse feel that we're judging them, constantly judging them, these are withdrawals from the account. Now, you want a happy marriage, you got to start making more deposits than withdrawals. Because the marriage that has the most currency in the bank is the happiest marriage. And the way you do that is constantly make your spouse feel that their most important thing in your life. Constantly. Now, how do you make your spouse feel that? How do you do it? Well, for example, if there's an issue in your relationship, the first thing you got to understand, this is all the first thing you got to understand, it's about feelings. So if you have an issue in your relationship, we first got to deal with the feelings. I know we have this issue, honey. And I know this is something we're going to get through because we made that lifetime commitment. But first thing we got to do is deal with the feelings. And then after the feelings have been resolved, then afterwards you deal with the issue. Because the feelings are the most important thing. I know I messed up. I'm sorry. I love you. I care about you. And our connection is the most important thing. And we will do what it takes to fix the issue. But I'm with you 100%. I love you even though you did that. And we're going to work through it. The feelings first. I can see you're angry. You have every right to be angry with me. You have every right to be angry with me. But we will get through this because I love you and we're in this together forever and we'll deal with the issue. You know, there's a friend of mine. He got married. I was living with him. He was a roommate of mine. And we were living together and we were dating, looking to get married. And he met this girl. And the minute that he met this girl, he said, "Wow, I'm going to marry her." And he brought her to meet me. I just happened to be there. And I met her. And it was just amazing. They were so connected right from the start. Wonderful girl, fantastic. And they really loved each other. They were like two kids who were playful and fun and passionate and excited together. It was beautiful to watch. And right after that, he met her, I actually met my wife. And we got married, they got married, and we lived in the same neighborhood. And we used to have parties together, and we used to, birthday parties and whatnot, and we used to share dinner parties together. We were really quite close at the beginning. And a group of friends, there was a bunch of us. And we moved away, and they moved away. We kind of lost touch a little bit. But then, all of a sudden, one day, she went to the doctor, and she found a lump. And she was diagnosed with cancer. Now, this lady is a fighter. She was a fighter. She wasn't going to give up. And she fought and fought, and they went through every kind of treatment that they could find that would help. And they did it. And she fought it. And she beat it. And she went into remission. She went through a lot of pain, but she went into remission. And as things rolled along, a little while later, a year or two later, she went in for her checkup, and the cancer came back in full force. And it had spread to her lungs and her liver and her spine, and that was it. She was there's nothing they could do for her. Nothing. They couldn't do anything. But she was a fighter, and she fought on, and for months and months and months. And finally, it got to the point where the cancer had spread all over her body, and she was in tremendous pain. And they'd set up a hospice in their house with a hospital bed in the downstairs with the kids. They had four little kids. She wasn't even 30, I don't think. They had four kids. And the doctor came to my friend and said, "I'm sorry to tell you this, but your wife is at the end. You have, at the most, 3 days left." 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. How do you say goodbye to your love in 3 days? What do you do? You know, the love of his life. His 3 days. And he dropped everything. Everything. He stopped work. He stopped everything. And they just focused, him and her and the family around, they just focused all their attention and all their energy, he did, on connecting with his wife for those last 3 days. Now remember, she was a fighter. And those 3 days turned into 6 weeks. And for 6 weeks, he never left her. They talked. They spent time together. They laughed. They cried. They shared. They connected on every level for 6 weeks. And after 6 weeks, she died. He was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. He was inconsolable for months. He'd lost his heart. And time heals wounds. Time passed. And about 2 years later, I was teaching at a conference in Santa Barbara, and he was coming to this conference to share his story. It's quite an amazing story. And we drove up from Los Angeles to Santa Barbara, and we're in the car together for a couple hours. And I asked him, an old friend of mine, I said, "Listen, you know, you went through this experience 2 years ago, and I know it's still painful, but what did you learn? Like, what was your growth? What came out of it? What was the life lesson?" And he turned to me and he said, "You know what?" He said, "Those last 6 weeks of her life, we lived 60 years together." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If we would have lived and been married for 60 years, we would never have made that connection that we made in those 6 weeks." And I was like, wow, 60 years in 6 weeks. And what did he do? What did he do? Well, he didn't take any moments for granted. He understood that every day counted. And he made a commitment every single day to make that connection and make her feel that she's the most important thing in his life. And it was so intense for those six weeks that those 6 weeks could have been 60 years. Now you've got to understand that this is our commitment. This is our commitment in marriage. Our commitment is to live those 60 years as if they were 6 weeks. To put our marriage first. This is the most important gift that we can give each other. The successful marriage has to be given top priority in your life. You got to work harder and smarter on your marriage than you do at anything else in your life. I mean, think how many years you went to school for your career. Through 12th grade, 4 years of college, maybe postgraduate work. How many years? 20 years? For your career, what's more important, your marriage or career? So how you working on your marriage? You giving your priority? You working harder? You working smarter? You figuring it out? Well, you are. You're listening to me. It's a great start. How about your parenting? Read books? Of course. Put more effort into your marriage than you should be in your parenting. Because half of your parenting is in your marriage. If you have a great marriage, half of your parenting problems go away. How much time and effort do we put in our relaxation? Learn to play golf? You know how much time it takes on the range and on the course? It takes 4 to 5 hours just to play. Forget about the practice and forget about the lessons. Well, where's your marriage lessons? Where's your marriage practice? Where's your 4 or 5 hours that you're putting into golf, into your marriage? Doesn't make any sense. See, the success of this relationship is going to aid you in every other part of your marriage, every other part of your life. It's going to magnify every other aspect of your life. This is the relationship that's going to give you the juice for everything else you do. And ignoring your marriage to focus on everything else will ultimately create chaos and emptiness in everything else you have in your life. Not just your marriage, but everything else. Put your marriage first. Your marriage is the most important thing. And 60 years of emptiness, or 6 weeks of intense connection, which would you prefer? Now thank God that's not our choice. Let's make the same connection every day that we do in our marriage as if there was the last 6 weeks. You know, a lot of people, they go on vacation. Why? Because they got to reconnect. So they go on vacation, they have a 2-week vacation together, go to the Caribbean islands, and they just focus on each other completely, and it's romantic, and it's fun, and it's passionate, and it's exciting, and you talk, and you reconnect, and those 2 weeks are beautiful. And then you get back into your life, and a month later, all of a sudden, you're back in your routines, and you find 3 months, 6 months, 12 months later, you go, whoa, I'm not feeling so connected to you anymore. So they say, you know what we need to do? Let's have another vacation. So you go away for 2 weeks. And every year, the two of you will go away for 2 weeks a year. And after 50 years, you'll look back and you'll realize that you were married 2 weeks a year. Now the key is to figuring out how to take those 2 weeks and now infuse them into your everyday, even though you're going through your routine. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And in order to do that, we need to schedule our spouse into our life. Got to schedule it. You have a weekly schedule? You got a daily schedule? A weekly schedule? You have a monthly schedule? Perhaps you have a yearly schedule if you're so organized? Maybe you have a big calendar on your fridge, in your kitchen, where you write down all your appointments and everything. You gotta schedule your spouse into your life. You gotta do it. Now we're gonna do a little exercise. I want you to take out that list, that prioritized list of 5 major areas where you're feeling disconnected emotionally from your spouse. Go take out that list. You have it in front of you? Oh, wait a second. Go ahead. Okay, you have the list in front of you. Now what I want you to do is I want you to take each one of those, starting with number 1 and working through number 5, I want you to take each one of those items on your list, and I want you to create a small action step for each item. I mean small. The smaller the step, the better. A small action step. For example, if what it is maybe you're not spending time together. So your action step may be 5-minute daily walk together. We're going to walk around the block every day before dinner, just for 5 minutes. Or maybe we don't spend time together. We're going to schedule in once a week, at the beginning of the week, before we schedule anything else in, once a week, we're going to schedule in going out to dinner together to talk. Just the two of you, not with friends, not with family, not with kids, just the two of you, put it in. Something small, nothing huge. So go through each one of those. For another example, let's say you're not dealing with issues. So there's an issue that keeps coming up. You're not dealing with it. It makes you feel very disconnected. So a small action step is that the two of you will go to your schedules, go to your calendar, and make an appointment a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, 3 weeks in advance, whatever it may be, just to go out and discuss this issue. Nothing else. A business appointment. We're going to discuss this issue. We're going to talk about what the issue is, and we're going to try and disconnect ourselves from the issue emotionally, and we're going to have a business meeting together to talk about the issue. Maybe next Thursday for lunch, maybe in 3 weeks we'll have drinks after work together as a business meeting, just the two of us to discuss this. Small action step for each item. Okay, go ahead. Put the program on pause. And go and do it. You're back. You did it. I hope you chose small things for 2 reasons. Number 1, we want to create momentum. Momentum is the most important thing. If you pick something that's too big and it takes too long and it's just, oh, and it's going to bring up all your emotional issues, don't pick that. Go back right now. Make sure it's a small little task, because we want to start creating momentum. You know, my father used to tell me, he used to say, you know, in the old days when they wanted to turn the huge wheel for the mill, and they would turn the wheel, that first inch took so much effort, so much power, just to yank it for that first inch, because you're starting from nothing. But as soon as you get it going, the next inch is easier. And all of a sudden, to move it an inch while it's spinning, barely is a tap with your fingers. Because once you start creating the momentum, it takes on a life of its own. And the way to create the momentum is to make a tiny first step. The second reason why you need to do first steps is because we need to learn that in relationship there's no such thing as a small step. Because a small step makes a huge connection. And really that's what a relationship is. It's all about emotional intimacy, feeling connected. And sometimes just a smile or a phone call, how are you doing, sweetie? Or a little love note saying, I'm thinking about you, can mean more than a 2-week vacation. Small steps are very important. So go over your list and make sure that your action steps were small. Go ahead. All right. Great. So now we have our list of 5 prioritized. We have a small action step for each thing. Now what I want you to do is take that action step and put it in your calendar or in your daytime or in your Palm Pilot right now. Put it in. Each one of those, you should have 5 action steps which are going to go right in your day timer right now. What about spontaneity? Forget about spontaneity. Put this in. Okay, I want to ask you to stop the program right now. Stop it. And go find your calendar, your day timer, or whatever it is, your Palm Pilot, and put it in right now. Go ahead. Don't wait. Don't listen more and say you'll come back to it. I don't want you. I want the momentum right now. We need to start creating that momentum right now. If you didn't stop the program, I can see you. You didn't stop it. Stop it. Okay, go ahead. Go. Do it. All right, you're back? Excellent. Now, if you're listening to this with your spouse, and the two of you have done this together, and each one of you have your list and your action step, and you put it into your day timer, now what I want you to do is I want you to shower your spouse, both of you, shower each other with unbelievable gratitude. You are fantastic. We did it together. Start celebrating. We did it. We started together. Go over the top. We did the first step. And we know the first step is the hardest. And now we've created the momentum together. This is great. Jump up and celebrate together that we started. We're on the road to connection. Go ahead. Celebrate. If you're doing this yourself, which is fine, celebrate yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Jump up and down and say, I began. I started. This is fantastic. You see, we've got to understand that emotional intimacy, which is that's it. That's the connection we're looking for. Emotional intimacy. Feeling connected all the time, every day, for the rest of our life. In everything we do, sharing and giving. That's what it is. It really demands that we be honest and that we have a sense of personal growth. You see, it's very difficult to hide from your spouse and still be emotionally intimate, because it's hard to feel connected to someone who's dodging. So really, when we start creating the momentum of emotional intimacy, we're going to start seeing that we need to become more and more honest with ourselves and our blocks. And together we work through our blocks to make sure that on the other side, that's where we feel the connection that we really need to. We have to work really hard every day to make that commitment that this is the most important thing. And as we start removing these blocks and we start really connecting, then little by little that loneliness will go away. But it really starts with a commitment to do small things every day, to get rid of some of our huge expectations, and to know that it's a process. Wherever we're at, today we can feel more connected than we did yesterday. Now don't forget that you have your list of 10 statements that you're going to say every day with conviction and meaning about what you're going to do for your spouse. Today I'm going to call my wife and I'm going to say I love you for no reason. Today when I get home, I'm going to unload my spouse's burden by giving them 15 or 20 minutes to themselves to do what they want. Today I'm going to, today, 10 things. And not only that, we have our list of 5 prioritized areas where we're feeling disconnected. We have an action step, a very small action step to get out of it. We've diarized it. We've put it in our diary. We've put it in our day timer. And we're going to follow through with our commitment. And we're going to feel that connection. Now, we do this every week where we make, we see where we're feeling disconnected and we do our action step. Little by little, we're going to create the momentum where we see we're in this together. There's no back door. It's just us together, and we're going to work through everything to make ourselves feel connected in everything we do. I want to thank you very much for the privilege of coaching you through this, and I want you to know that I am very proud of you for the commitment that it took and the courage that it took to change the momentum to start swinging towards intimacy. But you got to know that your life and your quality of life and the magnification of everything in your life depends on the connection of this relationship. Good luck. Get to work. And know that the connection lies over the next hurdle. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this free MP3. Please be sure to tell your friends about happywife.com.